This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, together with T. Xiao Yik and Kelly Anissa. Earlier, we spoke about the global outpouring of grief over the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral. Now we're turning to a domestic issue. Malaysia does not actually provide undocumented migrant workers an avenue to seek redress for unpaid wages, which kind of seems to be an open invitation to allow, you know, unscrupulous employers the opportunity to just continuously exploit poor migrant workers.
Sounds like slavery to me.
Yes, a little bit, yes.
So on Tuesday, the Shah Alam High Court deferred yet again its decision on the question of whether a migrant worker without a valid work visa has the right to claim unpaid wages. So this ruling relates to a 2018 appeal by a domestic worker from Indonesia. She's claiming unpaid wages for almost 5 years, and that comes up to a total of 30,265 ringgit and 32 cents.
And using the pseudonym Nona, she sought to exercise the right to make a claim against her Malaysian employer with assistance from Tenaga Nita, an NGO who has been working to protect and promote the rights of women, migrants and refugees.
Yes, and I spoke to Joseph Paul Maliamau. He is actually known as caseworker. And I spoke to him earlier this afternoon to find out, you know, everything that's been happening with this case. Hi, Joseph. If you could just tell us a little bit about Nona's story, because you are, of course, the caseworker. You've been working on this for a while. So, yeah, walk us through her story.
Yeah, Nona came to Malaysia in about 5 years ago, but she came to us in 2017. And that time, she had already been here for 4 years. So, it just came more than 5 years ago. And she was brought in by an agent who promised her a job and a work permit. Okay. So, of course, coming from the little village in Nusantara, she took the word and she came in here. And then she was sent to work. First, she was sent to work with one employer. It didn't quite work out. And then went back to the agent's place, and then the agent sent her to the next employer with whom she worked for almost 5 years.
Okay.
Now, she was actually employed as a domestic worker, which means her day started off at 6 o'clock in the morning and she did all these chores. And then about 9 o'clock or so, he would take her to his little, I wouldn't call it a factory, but kind of a atelier, where they do cleaning of bird's nest.
I see, right.
Okay. So, and then she would work there till evening about 5 o'clock or so, and then go back home and continue with the household work until about 11, 12 o'clock.
Right.
That was a typical day, you know, which means she would have been working like about at least 12 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. Or more, perhaps. More than actually about 18 hours, actually. You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't pay her very much. In fact, he only promised her about, in fact, 550 initially, and then he said after 3 months, I'll pay you 600 ringgit, you know. And, I mean, coming from where she came from, she thought, well, that is the money that was being paid, and so she agreed to that. But even that, he didn't pay, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when he asked her for money, after a year, he asked her for the money after a year or two, he sent back home, if I'm not mistaken, about 3,000 ringgit, you know. Mm-hmm. And then again, after another, she asked for money after another 1 or 2 years, he sent her, basically altogether, he sent back about 7,000 ringgit, you know, over that 5 year period that she was working. Then, after some time, she got into more arguments with him, and she said she's just leaving, and she just left. You know, she walked off, and she went. She found a pastor who took her in for a while, and then they found this, and so she brought her to us. So that is her background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, when she came to us, the first thing that we do, as we most of the time do, we contacted the employer and said, "Hey, look, here's this girl who says she's been working with you, and." And this all the unpaid wages, but didn't want to settle with him. So initially he said, yeah, I would come. And then he didn't turn up. We called him a couple of times. We sent him a letter. And finally, he just didn't turn up, you know. And then he refused to take any calls from us.
Right.
At which point, we decided we were going to make a police report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because initially, usually, we would just want to, as far as possible, settle it. And then the girl can get on with her life, you know.
Right.
So we made a police report. And unfortunately, the police didn't do anything, which is often the case anyway, right? So the next step was to file a claim with the Labor Department. which we did in Klang, in Port Klang. There's a labor department that closes because she was in Port Klang, so the closest was the JTK in Port Klang. And we filed a report, our claim actually, for her unpaid wages, which we worked out, you know, using the, based on her wages that she had in the period of time she's worked, plus the overtime and stuff like that. Because actually, technically, she was not just a domestic worker, she's also a commercial worker.
That's right.
And in which case, she is eligible for a minimum pay, irrespective of whatever wages she had been promised.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the amount that she's claiming is actually way below what she should be entitled to, you know,
mm-hmm.
because if you put in all those overtime, the holiday pay and all this kind of thing, it is much, much more. It comes to almost 90,000 now,
wow.
You know, which is actually the amount that we had actually put in the first, when we first went and filed the claim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened was, nothing happened again there. And months passed, I don't know exactly, months passed, and then we've been following up with the Labor Department, asking them what's happening. And finally, they told us that maybe October, I think from July to October, I think around October of 2017, they told us that, no, we can't take this case. I asked her why. He said, because she is undocumented. She doesn't have a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, if that's the case, then you give us in writing that you can't take this case.
Great.
Because we want to refer this to Putrajaya, who always claimed that every worker is entitled to their wages. No?
Mm-hmm.
Then subsequently, we got a call from them, and today, you know, okay, you can come in and file a case again. So I said, what happened to the case that you filed earlier? He said, no, that was a complaint, you know. So I said, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what the difference between a complaint and a claim. And neither would I expect the worker to know. If I didn't know, I'm sure none of the workers would know.
Yep.
She comes to complain, and then if it's a complaint, what do you do with the complaint anyway? But anyway, so I didn't want to make a big argument about it. Then send one of our interns to go along, and they filed this. They gave us some form to fill up. And at that point, they worked out the wages, which came to about 31,000 based on the basic salary that she was supposed to earn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just resigned against it, and so that was the amount that she was claiming, you know, which is actually way below what she had originally claimed, you know. At that point, I don't want to make a big issue of that because at least I wanted the case to move forward.
Right.
And then after a month or so, the labor officer said, hey, look, sorry, we can't end this claim because it's undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
So we filed an appeal to the labor court, you know, in the labor department itself. And then they ruled, after some delays and all that, they ruled that they are not competent to hear the case because she's an undocumented person. So then the only next course of action was for us to appeal against that decision to the High Court in Shah Alam.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we did. Now, that has been now almost a year now. Huh?
Oh, dear.
And, again, it went through many, many, many postponements and all that. And then initially, they said they wanted a ruling on whether Malaysia is a signatory to the ILO Convention 97.
That's right.
You know, they asked our lawyers to write to the Ministry of Home Affairs to ask whether we are a signatory. I said, you're wasting our time because we all know we are not.
You
know? So, but anyway, yes. Lawyer said, since the judge asked us to do that, so okay, let's do that. And then, so just a few days before the next hearing, the ministry confirmed that, yeah, we're not signatory to the Convention, ILO Convention 97. And therefore, we are not bound by the principles enshrined in that convention.
Right.
So that was the position of the Labor Department.
Okay.
They were not giving a legal opinion, they were just stating the fact. Okay. Now, you must understand that our appeal was not based on the ILO Convention. That was an obiter dicta, you know, because we had said that the Labor Employment Act itself provides a remedy for people who have not been paid their wages.
Yeah.
You know, and all workers, all persons, and not just Malaysian citizens. Again, similarly, the Malaysian Constitution also gives all persons in the country the right to livelihood, which includes the right to work.
That's right.
And then, or at least for not right to work, but be paid for the wages that they're working for. You know? He has the right to work without being wages, without being paid their wages. You know? So then there were a number of other arguments that the lawyers had shown in previous case laws where a refugee who technically is not allowed to work had also been awarded the remedy for unfair dismissal. You know?
Right.
So, of course, but I do not know why the court seemed to only want to rely on this ILO convention, which we have not ratified. Mm-hmm. You know? So, as it stands now, the court said, okay, now since we have not ratified this convention, the question that they asked the lawyer to submit on was, what remedy does an undocumented person, or rather she used the word alien, undocumented alien, which I object to, mm-hmm. but undocumented alien has right. to enforce his employment of contract mm-hmm. in the absence of non-ratification of the ILO convention. Well, actually, to be honest, the lawyer said, look, this is what we have been submitting on all along, you know. Then he said, okay, what about other jurisdictions, you know, how do they handle this kind of thing? So that is where it stands now, and so they have until 17th of August for the final decision, hopefully the final decision. And they need to submit a week before that, at least.
So, I mean, in her case, in Nona's mm-hmm. case, so basically she's just left to languish here until the court mm-hmm. makes a decision. So
yes.
she, and because she's undocumented as well, I'm guessing she doesn't actually have, it's difficult for her to find work as well.
Of course, she can't even remain in the country, much less find work. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
won't be able to work.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we need to, and this would be the lot of most, in fact, all undocumented workers, for that matter, even documented workers. Let me just digress a little bit since we're on the topic. Now, even if she had been a documented worker and she had a dispute with the employer, mm-hmm. the employer, all he needs to do is just go and cancel his work permit.
That's right.
And then he becomes undocumented. And then he files a case, okay, he might file a case in the Labor Department, and he can't stay in the country anyway
right.
because he's undocumented, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, there is a provision for him to get a special pass, which the immigration department gives for a month mm-hmm. on payment of 100 ringgit, during which time he's not allowed to work. And then, of course, nothing happens in 1 month.
Yeah.
Then he can extend it for another month, and I think after a maximum of 3 months, mm-hmm. after which he just has to go back home, you know. And so that would be the case of most undocumented workers who become undocumented in the course of a dispute with
That's
the employer.
Right. That's right. And as you said, they don't have the right to redress, basically.
Yeah. See, we say that there is a right to redress. There is a right to redress, which is in the Employment Act.
Mm.
You know? But then when it comes to implementing it, this is what happens. Okay, again, workers, according to my understanding of the labor law, all workers have the right to redress, and that's why there is a labor court where they can file their complaint or their claim or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that when you go then they say you don't have a passport with you, you know.
Wow.
Sometimes the passport is even held by the employer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if this worker is not able to, you know, give a copy of the passport or the work permit, then sometimes they don't even take the case. In this case, she didn't have a work permit, you know, which is the responsibility of the employer.
Of course.
Now, while all this is happening, now, the employer is also, should also have been, is also at fault for employing this worker. And he should also have been arrested.
Exactly.
He's walking free,
exactly.
probably recruiting, employing other undocumented workers or refugees, and then sending them off without paying them.
Yes, because, I mean, a lot of these migrant workers are undocumented workers are victims
yes.
of fraud or deception, you know,
exactly.
so many things.
Yes, that's right. So, and then, you know, if we go along this road, we are just opening up, as I mentioned earlier, these floodgates of towards employing, you know, undocumented workers and then sending them off without paying them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's our position then.
Okay.
See, our position is that whether or not she's documented and she has done the work, she pay her. Right.
Yeah.
Now, a documented status is something else that the immigration can deal with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can send her back home, it's fine.
So, I mean, moving forward, what would you like to see happening, especially in her case? And I know that Tenaganita sees so many cases like this as well.
Yes, we do see many cases like this. And I think it is important for the for our government to realize that there are such cases. There are lots and lots of such cases happening in the country. We do not want our country to be built on fraud and on the sweat and blood of workers who are not paid enough.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. They're undocumented. Then you deal with undocumented status, right? Mm-hmm. Deal with why they become undocumented. Give you 100 reasons why they're undocumented. You know, even the whole rehiring program that was conducted 3 years ago,
yeah.
Where at least 700 or 1,000 actually people registered for the program, paid good money after about between 5,000 to 7,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
To the agents which have been appointed by the minister, by the immigration department, four agents were appointed. They collected the money, and out of that 700,000, maybe only about 100,000 have been actually got their work permits.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there are about close to 600,000 people who have paid their money, have lost their money and their passports, and they are now undocumented.
Right.
Now, what are we doing about this? So, and then, of course, we have many cases like that coming in and saying, hey, look, we lost our money, we lost our passport, we want to go back, we want to work. And I think it's time that the authorities sit up and pay attention to this problem. Well, I think just from Nona's case, you know, all she's saying is she can't understand what is the big deal. You know, I worked, I just need my money and I want to go back home, you know.
Yeah.
And so that is what we're asking for. And at the same time, we have two things, actually. When we make a police report, we'd expect the police to act upon it. For example, all those people who had been to the rehiring program, paid money, and then when they go and make a police report, invariably they're told, oh, this is a cheating case, a commercial crime, we can take it up as a civil case against the agent, you know, which I think doesn't do justice to them. You know.
Yeah.
And then when we go to this labor department, again, they just turn it down. We have also refugees who have not been worked, who have also been cheated this way, have not been paid their wages. Again, the labor department says, sorry, you're not supposed to work in the first place, so sorry, we can't do anything about it. Then I'd expect those kind of attitudes to change, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Long journey ahead, though, huh?
Yes, it is a long... Well, I thought, you know, with the new government, you know, we're committed to justice and, you know, equity.
Human rights.
Human rights and all that. I'd expect that they would take up these issues much more seriously and urgently. You know? And of course, we're prepared to work with them and if they're prepared to talk with us.
That was Joseph Paul Malyamau from Tenaganita, and he's also known as caseworker. And, you know, just for those who don't know, Tenaganita does a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm.
And you can head to their Facebook page where they are constantly updating with all the different cases that they're working on. Or you can also go to their website and find out how you can help. And yeah, I really do hope. I think Joseph said it all, but I really do hope that Nona does get her the wages owed to her.
Yep.
And yes, like you said, you know, that the authorities do the right thing and take these sorts of cases seriously instead of just...
Set a precedent for better protection, right?
Yeah.
Documented or undocumented, she did her work. She put in the hours and the sweat and the effort and all that.
Yeah.
And just she should just be compensated for that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you know, as Joseph said, that the figure that they gave, 30,000 ringgit, is a far cry from actually what she was owed, because she worked in both domestic as well as commercial areas. You know, she worked for more than 8 hours, almost like 18 hours, you're saying. So it's crazy. It's basic exploitation. And as you said earlier, you know, it sounds like slavery.
I find it very unfair that the employer, there's no action taken against the employer, because they are also in the wrong for hiring somebody who's undocumented.
Yeah.
And for exploiting them in that manner. You're not supposed to use a domestic worker for commercial work.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't that count as human trafficking in some sense?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
It should be, right?
And I think that it's very weird to me, because I don't understand how it's like a basic right? And to say that this doesn't apply to you only because you are undocumented.
Yeah.
Is that to say that because you're not legal here, these people are allowed to do this type of things to you and get away with it? I think it sends a very bad message. And it says a lot about how we view certain human rights.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. So, yeah.
And just to reiterate Tenaga Nita's stand, the Malaysian government is duty-bound to ensure that no person, regardless of immigration status, nationality, socioeconomic status and gender, is caught in any form of slavery in this country.
Mm. Yeah, and this definitely sounds like a case of slavery.
Slavery, definitely.
And we have a comment on social media by on Twitter, by Flydyne Official. He said, yes, they must be protected. Don't become like one of those Gulf countries where they treat workers like toilet papers.
Well, yes, this was in response to our question, does Malaysia need to improve its protection of migrant workers? And I think from everything we've heard from what Joseph said, yes, it's...
I think we are treating our migrant workers like toilet paper as well. Yes. So we should take a good hard look at ourselves. As well,
definitely. Yeah. So you can keep the conversation going, you know, tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us WhatsApp messages at 018-789-8899, or you can follow us, BFM The Bigger Picture on Facebook. If you miss any part of this show, you can download the podcast on BFM.my, or you can search for it on the BFM app, and we're also available on Spotify. And coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, I'll be speaking to the folks from a non-profit organization called Save Our Environment, Save Ourselves, or SESA. And their main goal is actually to fight against food waste and food poverty. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. But first, here's some music to take you through the rest of the hour. Here's Get Up, Stand Up by Bob Marley. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.